Greetings, everyone. It's Marcus Hines, and welcome to the Marketing Implant Dentistry Podcast. I have to tell you, I'm really excited about this episode because recently I had the pleasure of discussing full arch implant case acceptance with one of the best in the game, Stacy Farley out of San Diego, California, where she works at New Day Smile. Guys, trust me when I tell you, Stacy has cracked the code for closing full arch implant cases on a daily basis. If your team struggles in any way with consistently closing all on X cases, you will want to hear this discussion in its entirety. Beyond the doctor diagnosing the patient and formally, you know, suggesting that they need to have full arch implant dentistry as an option, you pretty much know enough to take it from there. You can explain the x-ray as well as the doctor can to the patient.
Correct.
Just explain to the audience how important that is in terms of being able to influence the patient to move forward with treatment.
It's extremely important for a few different reasons, because when you're dealing with these size cases, you have to be an expert. When people are investing sometimes a third of their life savings, which I had a patient literally say that to me a couple days ago, you have to understand this and be able to answer. It's complicated because, listen, people pay a lot and they expect a lot, and they should. First and foremost, you have to lead. You have to lead with integrity. So I'll give you an example of that. I was sitting with a couple.
Stacy, good morning.
Good morning, Marcus.
How are you? Thank you for coming on this morning. I really appreciate it. I'm super excited to talk to you again today and just have you share some of your pearls with our audience about closing full arch implant cases. And I know you do such a phenomenal job at it, closing at 80-90%, which most offices would like to just close at 50%. So I'm super excited to have you discuss with us today some of your tricks of the trade. But before we get started, Stacy, I just want you to, if you would, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me. It means a lot. I truly respect you and admire you, and I love any chance I get to talk to you as well. So I just want to start with that.
Thank you.
So my story is probably different than most people trying to sell these cases. I actually just have a bachelor's degree in business and communication. And I started in sales right out of college because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I think that's what everyone does who doesn't know what they want to do. Yeah. Well, some people. But I was having a team meeting with our team yesterday, a training on the lead call, actually, after I heard a couple our receptionist taking a message for an incoming lead and telling the person we'd call him back for a full arch implant lead, which is like gold, by the way. So so anyways, you don't ever get off the phone with those leads. You pay a lot of money for them to come in. Yeah. So anyways, to make a long story short, I was explaining to them that I started in sales and was, you know, horrible at everything I tried to sell. I tried to sell copiers. I tried to sell advertising. I tried to sell. And until I found a product that I truly connected with, which was helping people, once I found that product, I like soared. Like it was just, it came easy. I was passionate about it. And I worked for Jenny Craig actually for like 10 years. I was an area market director. I did different, I crushed it in sales because it's the same, guess what? It's the exact same type of sale. It's an emotional sale that people procrastinate and procrastinate and procrastinate. Finally, they muster up the courage to pick up the phone, whether they saw their grandkid and the grandkid innocently said, "Grandma, why are your teeth all black?" Or, you know, it's the same thing. Like if you're trying to give up drugs or quit smoking or lose weight and you procrastinate and then you hit bottom and you pick up the phone and you have to capitalize on that moment. So it's the same type of sale. And I started out, you know, so I started out with 20 years sales experience, and then I stumbled into this industry because my father actually owned the practice that I now work for. He's retired. And he was one of the pioneers in the removable implant space. So, I came here just to do a consulting project with him that never took off. And then I was going to leave and go back and find another sales job. He's like, before you go, I've got something for you. He's like, he was one of the first guys doing TV marketing. You know, it wasn't even considered ethical back then. You couldn't own multiple practices. You could not, by law, own two practices if you were a dentist. They didn't even, I mean, back in the day, they didn't even wear gloves before the whole AIDS epidemic and everything.
I remember that. So anyways, I'm telling my age by saying that.
So anyways, so he said, I spend all this money in marketing and we have all these patients that come in, you know, and our office manager presents the treatment and we close like 2 out of 10 people. He said, let's study these cases together. We'll take like, he's like, we'll take, you know, an hour a day, review all these cases of patients that came in and didn't start. I'm going to educate you as to why they need to start. We're going to look at the x-rays. And that's how I got a lot of the clinical training. And just call these people. And if you close them, he's like, I'll just pay you a commission. And that's where it started. And then, you know, he didn't want to rock the boat and like, you know, have his office manager not presenting the cases. So we left it like that. And then once he sold his practice, and Dr. Valadez, who now owns it, bought it, he's like, oh, no, you're presenting these cases. Yeah, it's a really amazing story because when my dad sold the practice, we were doing about $2.2 million. And this year we got close to that $8 million mark with the same marketing spend. So we spend 5% in marketing, 5%. Most of these DSOs spend 20% in marketing because mm-hmm. they can't, because they focus on the marketing instead of the conversion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's just about getting better. It's just about getting better people, right? Mm-hmm. So
when you say better people, what do you mean?
Let me explain it. Okay. So we'll talk about my learning management system that's going to be coming out within the next couple of weeks that I just developed, which is going to be an online course. We'll talk about that later. So but I do consulting with full arch offices, primarily with, I've worked with a couple of DSOs, but primarily GPs that are looking to get into full arch. And I met with a client last week in Beverly Hills. He's awesome. And after meeting with his team, I can tell within 5 minutes if you have someone that's going to be able to get to the point where it's really going to make a difference, elevate you to where you need to be.
Yep.
And there's just certain personality traits, you know, there's certain things I have a knack for being able to look at your team and see if you have, you know, some of the right people in the right positions.
Yeah.
In terms of the sales part of it. So I called up my dad and I was thinking about this and like, how do I tell this dentist that you might not have the right person presenting these cases? I said, I'm going to be doing a podcast on Tuesday morning with someone I really respect and admire, and I need you to help me come up with a really good analogy. And my dad is like the analogy master, and I love analogies because it's a way to simplify things so people understand. Absolutely. So I said, I need you to give me an analogy of how to effectively execute full arch dentistry. And he's like, I'm like, should we do it like a car, like, you know, sales reps, the guy? He's like, no, this, I got it, like right away. He's like, executing full arch sales or full arch dentistry effectively is like owning a racehorse. Okay. So picture this. You buy a racehorse, you spend all this time and money, right? Training and developing this racehorse. Okay. So the owner of the practice is the owner of the racehorse. And then the training, you know, doing the dietary needs of the horse, the muscle, the training, all that is all the money that you spend on like the office equipment, the CT scanner, the micro mapper, now with all these digital workflows, the didactic training, you know, all the operational pieces. Okay. And then Okay, so let's think about it. So now you have this perfect horse, right? You got the perfect horse. You've maybe done a few cases. What's the one thing you need to make sure this horse wins? That's exceptional.
I don't know. What?
You need a jockey, but you need a really good jockey. Guess what your jockey is, Marcus? What's your jockey? Your jockey is your sales rep.
The sales rep, the treatment coordinator.
That's your jockey.
Who's ever talking to the patient's going to influence them to move forward.
100%. If you get a mediocre jockey and you don't invest in them, you're going to get mediocre results.
No matter how great the horse is. I love that.
Exactly. So it's like you got to find good people, and unfortunately, think of it this way, you have to invest in the jockey before he wins the race.
Ah.
So you can't go hire someone for $20 an hour and expect them to be able to develop this skill set because it's not easy. Trust me.
Do you mind if I steal that analogy?
As long as you give me some props for it.
I will. I'll give you and your dad props. I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay. So I see why your dad was so successful in business and in implants. And one of the things you said, Stacy, is that he trained you to look at these cases. When you and I spoke before, you showed me x-rays, a peno of a patient and that you had just closed. And, you know, you can read these x-rays and influence the patients. Oftentimes when, you know, you and I know several implant coordinators, treatment coordinators, what have you, oftentimes they don't have the ability to read x-rays and explain it to patients. And I just think that's such an integral part of being able to influence patients. You agree?
Yeah, I do. But I have two letters for you.
Okay.
AI.
Okay. So how, yeah, explain
no,
to
no,
me.
I mean, I just think it's crazy. I mean, that's going to be a big help.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
AI reading x-rays and explaining it to a patient?
Oh, it's already available.
Oh.
Not explaining it to the patient,
okay.
but literally doing a scan of the x-ray and pointing out every abscess, every perio disease, every pocket size right there, right on the CT scan.
Okay.
Right in front of the patient. It's already available. In fact, we have a meeting about it like next week.
Wow. I was not aware of that. That's amazing.
Yeah. You have to know, obviously, the significance, and you have to listen. This isn't something that you're.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, AI aside, explain to me, you know, what it is for you in a typical, you know, consultation with a patient who obviously needs full arch implant dentistry. Obviously, we as non-clinicians can't diagnose a patient, right? The doctor has to formally do that. Beyond the doctor diagnosing the patient and formally, you know, suggesting that they need to have full arch implant dentistry as an option, you pretty much know enough to take it from there. You can explain the x-ray as well as the doctor can to the patient.
Correct.
Just explain to the audience how important that is in terms of being able to influence the patient to move forward with treatment.
It's extremely important for a few different reasons, because when you're dealing with these size cases, you have to be an expert. When people are investing sometimes a third of their life savings, which I had a patient literally say that to me a couple days ago, you have to understand this and be able to answer. It's complicated because, listen, people pay a lot and they expect a lot, and they should. First and foremost, you have to lead. You have to lead with integrity. So I'll give you an example of that. I was sitting with a couple you're going to be like, oh my God, there's so many moving parts to this. So our associates diagnose and present these cases because Dr. Valadez does them. He doesn't have time to do the initial consult. So by the time Dr. Valadez meets with the patient, they're already paid for at a pre-surgery appointment. He doesn't even meet with them until their pre-surgery, where he goes over all their health history and we figure out if they're doing GA or you know, we always use, for all on four, you always have to use GA because there's so much bone reduction that IV sedation is just like people are moving around. Okay, here's my story I wanted to tell you though. This couple or this lady came in and we one of our associates diagnosed the case. She was like in the middle of the road where she could spend probably 25 grand and restore her teeth, but there was a lot of complications that I'm very aware of all this stuff too, because my dad taught me all this stuff. She has dry mouth. And what that means is it literally just rots the teeth from the outside in, because if you can't salivate, you can't fight off the bad chemistry in the mouth, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. If you restore with crown and bridge, guess what? In 5 years, you're going to be, it's going to all, the same thing's going to happen. Yep. The only thing that doesn't get affected by dry mouth is implants. Okay. But she's also got good, healthy bone, and she went through chemotherapy. So we didn't know if the dry mouth was from the chemo and it's still there. And so anyways, to make a long story short, I couldn't even meet with her the day that she was here because I was so busy. So I set an appointment for her to come in and just get one tooth removed. And I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put together all your options. And then after we take out that tooth, it was really bothering her. Like a couple of days later, we started on antibiotics. We're going to bring your husband, we're going to sit down, the three of us, and figure out the best way to do this. I hadn't gotten a chance to sit down with Dr. Valadez and review the case with him, which is what I like to do because I like to know my stuff. I can't go into a consult and not know what's best for the patient. That's the first thing. What is best for the patient? Not what should I sell a double all in for? Yeah, that might be more profitable for the office. You have to do what's best for this patient because they're trusting you here. And you have So Dr. Valadez, it's like 5:30, our office is closed. Dr. Valadez left. One of our associates that diagnosed the case wasn't here. So I grabbed the other associate to come in and he's telling her all the options to either save or, and the husband's kind of like, well, we don't want to spend, $25,000 and then be dealing with this again in 5 years. And the age factors into it. Cause if she was like 40, it's probably worth it. But this lady was like in her 70s. So anyways, they're ready to sign for a full arch case, like pay me 40 grand last night. I would not let them. I said, I cannot do this. I said, you're going to go home and you're going to come back on Friday for like impressions, first appointment. I'm going to review your case with Dr. Valadez tomorrow. And we figured out, I got him pre-qualified. The money's all there, all that. It's ready. I could have had him sign and just leave. Yeah. But I didn't. You want to know why? I don't care about that. I don't care about the money. I want what's best for this woman. And it's my job to figure that out for her. So that's what I'm talking about. Leading with integrity and not focusing on money and sales. And when you do that, it naturally just comes through. Your honesty, your integrity, you're wanting to help people. Absolutely. It's not trying to push people. Like, I was working with this DSO and they do this like same day close technique. And I talk about it in my course. And it's like the most ineffective way to persuade someone. Is try to like make them feel pushed into a decision like this. I do the exact opposite. I say, after you do the initial consult, you should book and expect to get the money 1 week. You need to get it within 1 week because you have to keep the momentum going. But let these people go home and breathe. They get so much information. They're overwhelmed. Don't say, if you sign today, I'll give you 10% off. Like that just sounds cheesy and feels cheesy. Like it's like, this same day close technique. It's like, well, they might go somewhere else. Trust me. If you do your part, they're not going anywhere. I promise you.
So, I would imagine you get people who have come to you for second opinions, right? And you're able to close them.
Oh my God. I have people that I love probably, that.
Yeah, I was just going to add, you probably have, they're probably far and few in between in terms of coming to you first and then going somewhere else for a second opinion.
Well, eight out of 10 times they're coming back to me.
Right.
So it's like once you get to be really effective at this, those things don't really matter. It doesn't matter how many offices they've been to. That's actually better because they learned like how mediocre all the other offices are. Just as good as you sell this, you have to be able to execute this. And it is not easy. And you could talk to Dr. Valadez next week and he'd be like, oh my God, don't even get into this because it's crazy because you have to deliver. Because guess what, Marcus? Yeah. If someone here's the deal too. When you get really effective at this and people trust you and pay you thousands and thousands of dollars and there's problems, guess who they're coming to? Guess who they want to talk to? Yeah. They come to me. So it's like you have to market it. First you have to learn it, and you have to learn both aspects, didactic. There's operational components you need to know. Like I have them fill out a questionnaire before I do consulting, and I sent the my partner sent the questionnaire for the training I'm doing tomorrow, and this doctor said he spends $8,000 on lab fees for full arch per arch, $8,000 per arch. I'm like, are you serious? Like, he doesn't even know what I'm talking, because if he truly spends $8,000 for a lab to make the teeth, he should be charging like $50,000-$60,000. Like, you shouldn't be paying more than like $5,000 for an arch.
And I like what you said about execution. So often offices, maybe they're doing say 10 arches a year, right? Uh-huh. And then they want to go to 40, 50 arches a year, which is definitely possible, but they're not thinking about the execution. Yeah. What do I need to do clinically to be able to efficiently perform 50 arches over the course of a year versus 10, right? So am I going to spend still $8,000, you know, per case? Am I going to have a lab tech come in and manually perform the conversion? What's that going to do for my schedule, right? So I like what you said about being able to execute, you know, clinically, because I think that's something that too often offices don't really think about.
Oh yeah. I mean, and listen, it's like, it's kind of first and foremost, you can't be like a GP that's just doing like single implants and then just be like, oh, I'm going to go try full arch. Like, you have to get the didactic training first. Then like what I would recommend is using like a mentor, like, you know, going to an office, watching it done. And then once you're able to, yeah, you kind of got to piece it together one part at a time, but you have to kind of learn everything. Cause then once you're ready to go, you have to know how to sell it. And then once you sell it, you have to know how to execute it. And like you said, once you start doing it, and you'll learn as you go, right? You're going to learn. And you have colleagues and mentors that you can, you know, rely on. But it's just really important. Yeah. To understand that the execution of this, if you're not executing it, it's a big, big headache. I mean, I read an article that a GP wrote, like just like telling people not to get into full arch because he wasn't properly trained. And it was just, he saw the big numbers at the beginning that looked all sexy and great. And then it's like, you got to execute, and these people expect a lot and they deserve a lot. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Stacy, I want to sort of get into what you have been working on with Gary Burt, who is an awesome guy in dental implant marketing as well. Your LMS learning management system you've got set up for, I think you're calling it Full Arch Sales Academy. I want you to talk a little bit about that, because I think that's something that's really missing in this segment of dentistry, in terms of being able to have, you know, often you see portals where doctors can go on and learn the clinical aspect of a certain procedure, but you don't always see portals available for clinical coordinators or implant coordinators, treatment coordinators, to be able to go on and learn how to do what you do. And as I understand it, you guys have put something pretty special together. So I want you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's I like just got the chills, because that's the piece that I'm trying to, you know, figure out. How do I effectively help people to learn how to do this? It's not so simple. But what we did, my partner and I, we put together an LMS, which stands for Learning Management System, which is basically any course that you can buy online, and train your team with. And I poured my sweat and everything I had into this course. And it turned out I had a content writer. We flew out to San Francisco, filmed the 28 courses in 2 days. We prepped and put it all together. I had a writing coach. It was an amazing experience. It's FullArchSalesAcademy.com. And it's 4 modules with 28 lessons, starting with the lead call, the clinical presentation. I put in like a sales 101 for, you know, treatment coordinators that are, you know, just, you can tell they have room to grow, but they've never had any sales experience, which happens a lot in this industry. And then the sales presentation. So it's literally my playbook, everything you need to start. And then it's all digital. So you have to think about, like, when you invest in like sales training, say you pay me to consult your TC or your finance manager, whatever you call her, patient advocate, whatever, there's so many different names, mm-hmm. your sales rep. Guess what? If that person leaves, unless you, the dentist or practice owner, is going to be in on every sales training, then what do you do? This is all digital right there for onboarding. It's just the foundation. I think it's going to be amazing, and I'm so excited. And we're going to keep adding to it. We're going to learn and add and learn and add. So it's going to be awesome.
So tell me what a treatment coordinator can learn from this LMS program. Like, what are some of the finer things that they'll be able to gain and apply?
I mean, it literally walks you through the entire sales presentation, from like the greet and build rapport to, you know, well, prior to that, it talks about how to, we were just talking about Daniel Pink, and he's done research and studies on how to effectively persuade somebody. And so I use some of his things, like, you know, he talks about like an irritator versus an agitator. So an irritator is basically trying to get someone to do something that you want them to do, which, and then an agitator is trying to get someone to do something that they know they ought to do and ultimately will do, right? Mm-hmm. So when you try to, and so agitators, they lead with their ears. Irritators lead with their mouths. So it's so much about listening and understanding and educating. And then what we talked about, doing what's best for the patient. Like, if you focus on the money, it'll never come. You focus on what's best for this patient, and trust me, the money will follow.
They'll find a way, right?
Oh yeah, they will. I mean, because I don't know if I've ever talked to you about my favorite quote, which I probably say in every podcast. But my favorite quote of all time is, cost is only an issue in the absence of value, always. Mm. And I talk about that in my course too, because I'm like, you know, like, let's use another analogy. Imagine like one of your loved ones, God forbid, got a disease, and you met with these doctors and they said, we have a clinical study, you know, it's gonna cure it 100%. But unfortunately, we don't have enough medication, so it's gonna cost you $100,000. Like, do you think you'd find a way to get that money? That's what I'm talking about. Like,
absolutely.
Cost is only an issue in the absence of value. So in Full Arch Dental, I go over, you have to use like a unique selling proposition. You have to differentiate yourself. You have to educate them on why they should choose you. So all of that stuff's in there. It's really going to be, it's really great. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think because you sent me a sample of it and you talked about your unique sales proposition. And, you know, if you really look at most offices, they all have a unique sales proposition, but too often they don't think about it. They're not conscious of it. And so they don't reflect it to the patient.
And exactly. Oftentimes,
yeah. And so,
and they're using the wrong one. Like, they're like, we create beautiful smiles. Okay. You and every other full art office, like, what right. do you really have? Give me some meat here.
Yeah. So I want to sit on that for a second. So in terms of your unique sales proposition to patients, what would be like sort of an example, that you would project to the patient?
Well, now, and you know, a lot of people would probably say, oh, it must be nice that she can say that. Now I can just say we're the largest implant center in San Diego. We do more implants than any other office. We do 50 to 70 arches a month. We've been doing
that's truly unique.
We've been doing implants for 25 years. So I, you know, and listen, I'm honest. I say, if you choose the wrong office to do this for you, it could like really ruin your life. I see it. They come back. They, for the, you know, 30% that I don't close or 20%, oftentimes they'll literally come back in tears, because that's another thing too. It's like, that's why I talk about the importance of really learning how to do this and diagnosing it as a whole nother thing. It's like a different mentality, you know, in GP, it's like, you're just trying to do crowns and do a partial. You have to, you think like you lead the diagnosis with like function, right? Like, yeah, we could crown like the anterior teeth and make you a partial, but are you going to be able to chew versus taking those six teeth out and doing an all on four? Like, think of the difference. Like, it's an amazing product that technology has given us the opportunity to change someone's life, but it has to be done correctly. And in order to be truly successful in it, you have to get the key components down really well. And the key components are selling it, executing it, and then, you know, and the operations part of it too, like the office culture, you know, they have to be confident. They have to understand it, because patients, they can see all that if people don't know what they're doing. So all that, you know, and we're still, you know, we're right now, I mean, we do like 50 arches a month, and we're still right now, we're just now transitioning from analog to digital, because when you start doing so many cases, that transition is like, Dr. V is like, we brought in a digital consultant to help us, because we bought the MicroMapper and everything.
So you're doing photogrammetry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was smart of Dr. Valdez to understand that from an operations standpoint, you know, he needed to go to digital.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about digital a little bit. You guys are, you've moved from analog to photogrammetry. You're doing MicroMapper. So that's great. From a staff standpoint, what are some of the things that offices need to understand that they're going to need to incorporate staff-wise, educating the staff, having everyone on board? What does that look like for your office?
Well, that's a great question. A couple of the things that I feel like we've invested in to help us is we have two assistants on staff that are EF. So they're RDA EF, extended functions. So they can load and unload hybrids, PMMAs, that's huge. If you don't have hygiene and you're just full arch, you have to think about if you're going to have a warranty, you have to make sure these people come in at least every 6 months and clean it. They're talking about now, I worked with a really good oral surgeon. I was training his team in Florida, and he sent me an article about how the design of these things are so good now, depending on which lab you use and how well you do the case. Like Dr. Sharafi, who's an oral surgeon that we partner with when we need zygomatic implants, he's amazing. He's a beast.
He
talks about, like, you know, how a lot of the patients want like six implants, and like, he can't stand when there's like eight implants and it's all, and there's no way to like get a water pick under there and clean it. So another thing is the bone reduction. This goes back to the clinical side. I know we were talking about operations, but like, Dr. Sharafi said it took him like 1,000 cases to learn how to take off as much bone for the, you know, you need enough restorative space. So, right. And then there's AP spread and all those things. But operationally, I would say, just training, development, hiring people to train you. Like, we're not trying to roll this out by ourselves. We're still learning it. We're testing like 4 cases from start to finish. With, you know, we started with all her lab and her equipment, then we bought a little bit of the equipment. Don't try and do it all at one time, because you'll have, you know, these outside vendors, and you could spend $100,000 on equipment you don't even need. So I would get a professional in your office that's kind of like non-biased, that can help you and work with you. I wouldn't try to figure it out just from sales reps pitching their equipment, you know?
Yeah. No, and I think it was wise for you guys to hire a consultant who could lead you in the right direction, as opposed to just piecemealing everything, like you said, just dealing with the sales.
That never would have worked.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
So it might work for some guys that are really innovative, which I know a lot of dentists are. And if you're only doing a few cases a month, not when you're doing like 50 cases a month. There's right. No way.
Yeah.
We would have.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Stacy, you've given us a lot of good pearls as usual. I really appreciate it. I'm just wondering, before we wrap things up, I know you got a long day ahead of you, probably got a few cases to close as soon as we get off the phone. But do you have anything that you'd like to leave the audience with in terms of, you know, case acceptance and just being able to help more people through gaining case acceptance and so forth with full arch implant dentistry?
You know, I talk about how it can be very frustrating, but it's also like the most rewarding thing. It's like that love hate, right? It's the most rewarding thing you can do for a person. And I would say just keep striving to get better. Invest in your team, hire the right people, get help with areas that you need help in. Any person, I was listening to Steve Jobs this morning. He did an interview. I love listening to, you know, obviously when he was alive. But he just talks about figuring things out through growing pains, through like trial and error, right? So like, you know, you're never going to really truly grow, but it's never just going to be easy. You have to figure it out, and you have to surround yourself with the right people and, you know, keep investing in your practice and your people, and always put the patient first and what's best for them, and the money will follow.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think part of putting the patient first is training your team, right? And so that they can help the patient and gain case acceptance and have these patients really benefit from what's available. So I think that's awesome. And what about your Full Arch Sales Academy? If someone was interested in getting more information on that,
you can go to fullarchsalesacademy.com, and it describes the course, and it tells the different modules, and it has like a sample video. So just go to fullarchsalesacademy.com, and you could also, you know, actually just email me, and you could just email me to Stacy, so Stacy at newdaysmile.com. So newdaysmile.com.
Awesome.
If you're interested. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, Stacy, for coming on. I really appreciate the time that you've given us this morning. And I hope you have a super fantastic day.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you, and I really, really admire you as well. Oh, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right.
All right, Marcus. Thank you. Bye-bye.